Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy on KFI is provided by DSL Extreme at dslextreme.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my KFI podcast. This show originally aired on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles on Saturday, November 11th, 2006. This is show 299.
November 11th, 2006.
Right now, it's 65 in Westminster, 63 in Laguna Beach, at 64 in Marina Del Rey. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 11:06, I'm Ginger Chan, KFI News.
Thank you, Ginger, and good morning. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy on KFI. Good morning, geeks and nerds. And normal people. Who don't consider themselves geeks or nerds, but would like to know what's going on in technology. Yes, you too. In fact, especially you too. This is the show where I talk about tech every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I was on the geek cruise last week and came back on a Sunday, but didn't. I was a little under the weather. Caught something on that boat and missed Sunday's show, so we had a rerun on Sunday. But this is it. This is live. And your chance to call and talk about tech. 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. I should hold up a newspaper. So then they do that with Castor. Didn't Castor do that? Hold up a newspaper to show you. This is November 11th. I am here. Veterans Day. 11-11. And tech means anything with a chip in it, any kind of technology. You know, it's kind of hard to define technology since it depends when you're talking about. The fork was technology before they had them. The knife was technology before they had it. A zipper. High tech. Oh, very high tech. When zippers first came out, I think it was about 150 years ago, some people were kind of shocked. They said, it's too easy to get out of your clothes now. The work of the devil. So, you see, it doesn't matter. Technology is always reviled when it first appears. Somebody once said, technology is just something that wasn't around when you were born. ATMs. Fax machines. Cell phones. Depends when you were born. You know, my kids, a cell phone was part of their life. Really, the internet's part of their life. My daughter was born in 92. The internet was the web was 3 years old at the time. But it really wasn't. It was just beginning to take off. It was around 94 that the internet really started taking off. So she's grown up with it. Certainly my 12-year-old has grown up with it. So we talk about computers, Linux, Mac, Windows. We'll talk a lot about Vista today, I'm sure. Talked about it on Saturday, and I thought that was quite interesting. We'll also talk about cell phones, camcorders, digital cameras, MP3 players, home theater. Finally bought a plasma TV. It's taken me so long. I've recommended against plasmas for so long because of the burn-in and other issues. But we're now at the fifth generation of plasma televisions, and I'm finally taking a chance. I'll let you know. they do look better than anything else. I've had a Sharp Aquos HDTV for a while, which I love. But boy, you know, these Pioneer plasmas, the blacks are so dark. The contrast ratio is so much higher. They look appreciably better. So I'm going to take the chance. And you know, the prices, they're a quarter what they were 5 years ago. We're talking for a 50-inch plasma now. $2,000 for, say, a Vizio, and $3,000 for kind of the top of the line. They've really dropped. So we'll talk about home theater if you want. Talk about the Zune. Microsoft has a busy week last week. On Tuesday, I'm going to say shipped. That's really not the right word. They sent the final master for Office 2007 to manufacture. It still will be a while before it actually is available in the stores, but they finalized it, I guess is probably a better word. They finalized it. They call it the Gold Master sometimes because they used to burn these on as CDs, gold CDs. They don't do that anymore. In fact, they're DVDs now. And I don't think they're gold. I think they're blue, but the Blue Master doesn't have the same ring, does it? Sometimes they call it the RTM or the Ready to Manufacture. It's the one they send to the factory to press. That came out on Tuesday. On Thursday, Windows Vista went to the factories. And on Tuesday this week, the Zune comes out. a very big week for Microsoft. Of the three, so you got three new products. You've got Office 2007. You've got Vista, the new version of Windows, 5 years in the making. And you've got the Zune. Of the three, most people who've played with these agree the best of the three is Office 2007. There's a lot of excitement of that. Although I have to say I'm one of the people who's, I've been playing with it, and I'm sure, you know, it's been out in beta for some time, and I'm one of the people who say, where are my menus? They've really changed the user interface. That's all they could change, really. Office, you can't do much to change it. It's already got every feature under the sun. Most people only use 5% of the total feature set anyway. But so what are you going to do if you're going to put out a new version of Office? How are you going to change it? Well, you change the user interface. You make it easier to use, quote. I don't know. No menus doesn't seem easier to use to me, but they've done a lot of research on this. And people who like it, people like Paul Theriot, who we talked to last week, love it. Say, oh, this is great. So that would be, I'm going to pick out of the three releases for Microsoft, that's number one this week. That's going to be the big hit. Vista is inevitably a hit because starting probably in a few months, you won't be able to buy a PC without it. XP will quickly fade into the distance, and Vista will be the operating system of the future. Jury's still out on Vista. I'm excited about it. I'm hopeful for it. Of course, the big question is it going to be secure? Is it going to be more secure than XP? And you heard Steve Gibson say last week, this is my security guru, no, don't buy it. Wait. I'm not convinced that that's true. I will, of course, install it. I haven't yet got my hands on the Gold Master, but I will soon, and I will install it immediately. Jim Alchin, the guy, the co-president in charge of Vista, told a reporter this week that he's so proud of the security in Vista, of the lockdown features, that he's going to let his 7-year-old son use it without an antivirus. He also mentions he'll be using the parental controls to keep the kid from going to bad sites. But he's, now remember, he's the executive in charge of this, but he's saying, I don't think you even need an antivirus if you use it right. There are certainly a lot of new technologies in Vista, and we'll bang on it, and we'll know soon enough. IE7, Internet Explorer 7, which came out a few weeks ago, already has, I think, three exploits, hacks, taking advantage of it. Believe it or not, that's not too bad, if you ask me. And the reason is, it's an instant, immediate target. Hackers know, everybody's going to be using this. Microsoft's really pushing it. We better find some holes in it. And so three is not bad, I think. Of the three releases, Office 2007, Vista, and the Zune, the loser, the clear loser, is the Zune. Already Forbes Online, Forbes.com, David M. Ewalt writing, says, this is the headline, Zune stinks. Now, I've played with a Zune. I like the form factor. It's a little bigger and thicker, I guess, than an iPod or than you would expect. But I like the screen. Very good for video. Really is beautiful screen. You know, I kind of like the way it feels. It's this new rubberized plastic that's all the rage. And it has kind of a soft feel. It's not slick. It's nice. It's not too big. It's not too heavy. It's a little bigger and heavier than the iPod, but it's not too big or too heavy. It's like 60% bigger than an iPod. 17% heavier. It has what looks like a click wheel that doesn't actually work. That's the biggest confusion for me. You want to spin this wheel and it doesn't spin. But the user interface otherwise is, I think, very good. So what's so bad about the Zune? David M. Ewalt, Forbes.com. Well, I kind of agree with him. Here's a couple of things. First of all, it doesn't use Windows Media Player to copy music to it. You got to use the special Zune software. And you can't buy music from any of the existing stores, including Microsoft's own store, which it has shut down now. If you had an account at MSN Music, forget it. They've shut it down. It doesn't work with Napster songs, Yahoo songs. You have to buy your new music at the Zune store, and only the Zune store. Well, what, you may ask, about all the music I bought from Yahoo Music last week? Can't play it. I think if we look back in history, what we're going to say is this was the low point for copy protection and digital rights management. This was the beginning of the end. This machine is so encumbered. Microsoft has bent over backwards for the record companies to such a degree that it's useless. And people are just going to ignore it in droves. So you can't use Windows Media Player to copy music to it. You can't use any of your existing copy-protected music. You have to buy all new music at the Zune store. And, oh, by the way, at the Zune store, you can't use money. You have to use Zune points. How do you get points? Well, you buy them in blocks of $5. So you can't just buy one song. You've got to buy $5 worth of Zune points. And songs are 79 Zune points, but that's about 99 cents because there's not a Zune point is not equal to a penny. I know, I'm an old guy, I'm confused by this. All the people who've used Xbox Live understand it completely, but I just don't get it. I don't understand the point system. You have to buy $5, which is worth of points, which means I have to give Microsoft some money to buy one song. I have to give loan Microsoft $4. And then I have to figure out this point system. And, of course, you always have some points, right? It's a clever way to keep you buying music there. If you start at all, you got to use the Zune Marketplace. Furthermore, it's got Wi-Fi. Oh, isn't that exciting? These new devices, they have Wi-Fi. Well, can you surf the net with it? No. Mm-mm. Can you get on your own network? No. Mm-mm. No, no, that's not what the Wi-Fi is for. The Wi-Fi has one and only one purpose. That is to share copy-protected songs with your friends and neighbors, even if the song isn't copy-protected to begin with, even if you created it from your own CD or it's a podcast. If it's this show, listening to this show on a Zune, you want to send it to your friend, he gets it, but all of a sudden there's been copy protection. It's been put on it, which is, by the way, a violation of the license agreement. And he can only listen to it 3 times or 3 days, whichever comes first, and then that's it. It's over. He has to buy it. But you can't buy this. Does it have podcast support? No. It's a funny thing. I talked about this with Bill yesterday. And I like the form factor. I like the user interface. I think there's a lot of good things in this Zune. But they have so encumbered it with copy protection that I think it's an absolute flop. He asked me to make a prediction, and I hedged, and I thought about it. And I have to say, there's no way. Anybody who buys this is going to be so fed up with the copy protection, they're going to want to throw it in the ocean. And I'm thinking they're not going to sell a lot of these. It could be I'm hoping it's the beginning of the end for copy protection. Oh, I forgot one more thing. For every Zune sold, Microsoft gives an unstated amount of money to Universal Records. Because, of course, you are pirating music, aren't you? You bad person, you. And obviously, anybody who would buy a portable MP3 player must be stealing music. So Microsoft is agreeing to give the record companies, and probably they raise the price as a result, a certain amount of money, kind of a licensing agreement. If that isn't a lot of hornswoggle, I've never heard it. It's saying that every single person who buys this device is going to steal from you, is going to steal music. And the fact that Microsoft gave in to the record companies on this one is terrible, because the record companies now say, see, we've got a precedent. We're going to do this with everything. Everything. They've done it in Canada. When you buy a blank CD, you pay an extra fee because presumably anybody who buys a blank CD is stealing music. They did it here with DAT tapes briefly, and it might have been one of the things that killed DATs as a format. You had to pay an extra fee for the DATs. In fact, they tried it with CDs. They had special music CDs that cost more, but it was too late. People knew better, and they just bought the regular CDs, saying, well, you know, these make music CDs just as well. Ah, just unbelievable. Now, a lot of people there are other products people are waiting in line for. Of course, this is the big holiday season. The Wii is the big one. PS3 is on its way, too. We'll talk about that as well. It all begins the holiday buying season. 1-800-520-1KFI. Hey, let's talk about it. 1-800-520-1534. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
You tip your waiters, you tip the valet. So why not tip your favorite radio station? Call the KFI News tip line. It's always open at 323-CALL-KFI.
1126 KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. 1-800-520-1KFI. That's my phone number. I'd love to hear from you. We'll start with Marty in Sherman Oaks. Marty, welcome to KFI. I don't seem to have control of anything here. That's because I'm in passive mode. You'll bear with me for a moment while I fix this situation, and then I will be able to pick up on Marty in Sherman Oaks, and right now I think I can. Hello, Marty. How are you today?
Hi, Leo. I'm enjoying making the move to Linux this year, and now that Fedora Core 6 can write some NTFS volumes and share with my Microsoft stuff.
Yeah, I think Linux is a very good option for people. It's getting more and more friendly for the desktop. I like to see people move into Linux. I think it's a great operating system.
This install of Fedora 6 that just came out was the easier than Microsoft have ever done.
Yep.
I'm looking for a utility to recover glitched files like MP3 files on SD cards and some that maybe can do some reconstruction of files more than just the undelete that most of the recovery stuff for SD cards offers.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, an SD card, in fact, all flash right now is basically the same as an IDE hard drive. So almost any program that can do repairs should be able to restore. The truth is what I would recommend is getting the data off and then either if you can't format the thing, throwing it out. If a card gets flaky on you, that's the beginning of the end, in my opinion.
I've seen some of those, or a couple of those that a friend had that were just not usable, not even formattable, which is kind of strange.
Well, they die. I mean, they have a limited number of cycles, several thousand, and they die. And you can, just like any hard drive or any medium at all, you can eventually have failures with them. There's a free one that I like that's very good. It's pcinspector.de. It's absolutely free. pcinspector.de, German company. And they offer a free recovery program that does very well with flash cards. It's called PC Inspector, logically enough. PCinspector.de. But seriously, I wouldn't try to recover a drive that's failed. They're not expensive, and it's probably, if you're going to put precious photos on it, if it fails once, it's likely to fail again. Recover the data, throw the thing out. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, 1129. Ginger Chan's in the KFI News Center.
It's for your own good. Dr. Laura, Monday, noon to 3.
KFI AM 640.
1139, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. KFI, 1-800-520-1KFI is my phone number. Jerome San Diego, welcome to KFI.
Hi, Leo. I have a serious problem with my computer. I downloaded the Nod 32 that you recommended.
Mm-hmm. Excellent antivirus, yep.
And I have a XP Home Edition, and not on the same day, but on later on at another time, I did a virus scan using AVG. And Nod 32, the software gives a warning that says, do not have any other antivirus software on your computer if you use Nod 32, otherwise severe problems may result.
That's very common. In fact, most antiviruses say... Yeah, most antiviruses say that.
When I used AVG.
Okay.
Some viruses started popping up. AVG indicated some viruses were on the system. And when that happened, Nod 32 activated automatically and said alert.
This is why you don't want to have two antiviruses on the same system. What happens? Nod 32 is smarter than AVG in this respect, but unfortunately, AVG, it's free, right? What happens is the definitions for the viruses, the way an antivirus works is it's looking for specific characters in files, strings we call them, signatures, that are typical of the virus. So that's what when you download your virus definitions, what you're really downloading is a bunch of signatures, typical strings that appear in viruses. Well, guess what's in that definition? The same thing, right? So AVG, you probably don't have a virus. You could, but you probably don't. What you have is AVG seeing Nod32's definition file. And this is why you have problems when you have multiple antiviruses. It thinks they're viruses. It probably tried to modify that file. At that point, Nod32 has something called advanced heuristics. which is a little different. There's two different ways that antivirus can see a virus. One is through this definition method, and that works pretty well. Some antiviruses, like Kaspersky, that's all they do. But most good antiviruses also have heuristics. They're looking for virus-like behavior. You combine the two, you've got a pretty good defense. So Nod32 is running in the background, watching for typical virus behavior. One of the things they watch for is a program trying to modify the antivirus. What's the first thing you do if you're a virus? You look for the antiviruses and you try to disable them, modify them, delete them. So here's the scenario. You ran AVG. AVG sees Nod32's definitions file. It sees signatures for viruses in there. It can't tell that it's not a virus. It thinks it's the virus. So it starts to remove it or modify it or protect you from it. Nod32 is sitting there saying, whoa, some program is now trying to delete me or modify me. That must be a virus. You've got now a real problem. I hate to ask, but what happened then?
Hello?
Yeah, what happened then?
What happened then is Windows joined the party and opened up a message window that said NT Authority error message. This system is shutting down. Windows must now restart because the remote procedure call terminated unexpectedly, and it starts a 60-second countdown, and it does restart every, you know.
So you have one option and one option only. You have to reinstall Windows.
Oh, that's not the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, well, I don't see any way around it unless you are very good at getting in there and messing with stuff. You've hosed the system, dude. That's why I believe in reading the instructions. It's really a good idea. This is exactly why. Now, I think it would be prudent for an antivirus to include in its code, oh, is that a definition file? You know, and try to avoid this kind of thing. And I'm sure antiviruses do. Again, when you get a free antivirus, there are going to be things that are not in there that might be in a commercial antivirus. AVG is free. One would hope that the antivirus would say, is that really a virus? But let's say it does identify it. Then one would hope that the other program would say, is this a bad guy? The problem is bad guys might impersonate an antivirus program. In fact, they probably do. You got such a mess in there. Jerome, I just don't see any way to fix that but without reinstalling Windows. Don, Capistrano Beach, welcome. KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I like your show a lot.
Thanks, Don.
Regarding digital cameras, I'm looking for one. And what I came across was a ELF Digital 7.1 megapixel with...
Which ELF model is it?
Gosh, I couldn't...
Is it, say, like the SD700? It's ELFs or Canons. Is it SD630? You don't remember the number?
No.
Yeah, okay.
With its own printer... portable printer for $288.
Okay.
I just want your opinion on it.
Well, because you don't know the model number, I don't know which one it is. But I have to say, I love those Canons. And the Canon printers are... Is it a Canon printer as well? I mean, is it a Canon deal? Is that how it's working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canon printer.
They're those Pixmas are excellent printers. You know, the price is really low. But the cameras have gotten much cheaper. I think it probably is a good deal. I just don't know which model number you're talking about, right?
Oh God! I wish I could tell you. I should.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Don. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you. I like the Canon cameras a lot, and I think you probably, you know, almost any if it's a current model Canon, I think they're very nice cameras. Do you like it? Does it fit your hand well, and also all that stuff?
Yeah. Well, I had an older one, non-digital, and really like it.
I think you're going to like it. I like the Canon cameras. It's nice to get the printer because now you're going to get good quality prints. The Canon printers are very good printers. I would say go for it. I think you got a good system, a good combination there. It just blows my mind how the prices of digital cameras have fallen now. 7 megapixels. I'm thinking if it's 7 megapixels, it's a definitely late model Canon. It's probably the SD600 or the 630. That's a nice camera. Micah Garner, Garner, Iowa. Welcome, Micah.
Hi. I was wondering how I get, you know how under the iPod, when you go under music, there's an audiobook subsection?
Yeah.
I was wondering how to actually put audiobooks in there, because whenever I drag them into my iTunes, it automatically puts them under music.
Right. What's I believe in there is books that are purchased from Audible. However, let me just look, because that's all of my Audible books. You know, when you buy them on the iTunes Music Store, they come from audible.com. Let me just look at this file. Yeah, these are .AA files, which means they're Audible encoded. They have Audible copy protection. I wonder if there's another way to get those. iTunes has this funny categorization. Like, you'll download movies or TV shows, and it'll show up in the movie section, or a movie, and it'll show up in the TV show section. And somewhere there's got to be a comprehensive description. Let me look of what it is that iTunes is using. Is it using the AAC tags, the metadata in there? Is it using the file extension? Is there some other magic setting? Everything in my audiobooks folder is, from Audible. It's an actual audiobook. So obviously, whatever they're doing makes it an audiobook. I wonder, though, if there's a way to do it without that. Let me check. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break. Let me check and get back to you on that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Download your favorite shows and listen when you want. KFI, AM640.com.
KFI, AM640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI. I'm playing, it's fun, I'm playing now with iTunes, trying to get something to appear as an audiobook. And this is the conclusion I've come to. And I think this works. I'm not sure yet. I've looked on the web, too, for advice. The consensus seems to be, first of all, it has to be an AAC file. So if you've got them as MP3 files, you need to convert them to AAC. iTunes will do that. You just go to the importer. You have to make sure that in your advanced settings, your advanced preferences, you say import using as AAC. And you should make these... I don't think the settings matter, but... audiobooks are typically 64K or lower and optimized for voice. I don't think that matters. The main thing is you want to convert to AAC. You'll get an M4A file. All the AAC files are M4A. You want to change that to M4B. And then once it's M4B, you can re-add it to your library. And that'll make it, I believe, a book. I'm still playing with it. One other thing you might want to do, just to be safe or complete, is also go into the info and change the genre of the file to audiobook. And for convenience sake, you're also going to want to go to the options and say, remember playback position. So you'll do get info on your file. Click the options tab and say, remember playback position. That makes it bookmarkable. And that's very important with an audiobook, that these are big files. So, if you listen to half an hour and then stop, you want to make sure you go back to that point instead of having to start all over again. I think that's all you need to do. I think it's looking for that particular type. I know the .AA files are perceived as books because they're audible books, and they're encoded in that audible fashion. And I believe that's all you need to do. But you don't have to play with. I didn't have time to actually try it. Well, I did, but I haven't completed it. I have to add it to my library. So if that works, let's see. Add it to the library. Where did it go? If that works, obviously iTunes. You know, this is part of the problem I think people have with iTunes and iPhoto as well. Is it kind of does its own organizational thing. But try that anyway, see if that works. Penny Costa Mesa, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Penny.
Hello, Leo. Thank you for your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Every day.
Thank you.
I have two quick questions. One is I want to buy a camcorder, digital camcorder for my business. It's got to be lightweight, and I can only spend about $250.
Ooh.
Do you recommend anything?
Ooh, that's right on the low end. What are you going to use with these? The video for?
I'm a drama teacher, and I just teach
great.
Kids, and so we tend to just video them and, play it back, that kind of thing, so it's nothing huge.
Right. And do you plan on editing this on a computer or anything like that?
Probably not, no.
I mean, I think even if not, you still want to get a DV camcorder. It's just that your price is your price is so low. Let me just I'm gonna sort. I've gone to the site that I highly recommend, which is camcorderinfo.com. They've been in business a long time. They've reviewed these guys for years. They're very knowledgeable. And they have a listing, ratings listing. Here's one. The Panasonic. This is $250. And I do like these actually very much. The PVGS19. Sometimes you get last year's camera, they're a lot cheaper.
Okay.
They say this is the best under $300 camcorder we've seen this year. Well, that's a pretty good recommendation.
Okay, that's great.
And based on their recommendation, I bought a very inexpensive Panasonic. I was very happy with it as well. So it's that, or maybe the Canon ZR series. I think they will probably also be under $300. But read the reviews on Camcorder Info, because they'll tell you the pros and cons. At that price, there's going to be some cons. You want to make sure that it's something you can live with.
Okay, wonderful. And my other question is, as my child wants me to call, really, was that he's been trying to buy the Wii, and he's tried to pre-order it and line up different places and can't get it.
Good luck.
So, is there any recommendations for? I know it comes out on the 19th. He's obsessed with the idea of it.
I don't know. You know, we're going to take a break for news. Keep listening, okay? And I'm going to ask our listeners, how do we help Penny's kid get the Wii? I'd like to know, too. It's coming out the 19th. I know Shuby's waiting in line at Best Buy. 1-800-520-1KFI. How do we get the Wii? You got any inside scoop? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 11:59. Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
November 11th, 2006.
It's 68 in Fullerton, 65 in Newport Beach, 73 in downtown L.A., 69 degrees in Burbank. KFI is a talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. It's 12:06. I'm Lisa Osborne, KFI News.
Thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI. We're looking for tips for Penny on how to get a Wii. That's the new Nintendo game box, which is turning out to be the sleeper hit of this year. I think it's going to kill the PlayStation 3. And, of course, the good news is Nintendo has lots more units in the U.S. than Sony was able to get for the PlayStation. There's a very few. You'll be disappointed if you're trying to get a PlayStation 3 unless you really got some connections. On the other hand, I think you have a shot at the Wii, although I've been talking in the chat room. There are already people lined up at the Burbank Best Buy. Even though the Wii doesn't go on sale for 8 days more, they started lining up a week ago. if you notice a line in front of Circuit City or Best Buy, one of your favorite consumer electronics stores, that's because on the 19th, 8 days from now, the Wii comes out. A week from Sunday. Unbelievable. It's the least expensive of the three. I mean, if you think of the three big console game boxes as the Xbox 360 from Microsoft, which came out last year, the PlayStation 3, which should be out soon, and the Nintendo Wii, the PlayStation 3 is, what, $700-$800? Maybe it'll be less. Xbox 360 is $400. This is before you spend $60 on a game. This is just the box. The Wii is going to be just a couple $100. So, and it's going to, you know, it's a great family game machine. They'll have some good shoot 'em up stuff, but they've got a lot of great games that kids just love. So there's a lot of interest in the Wii. I mean, people will be lining up, I'm sure, for the PlayStation 3 as well. And I think adults who are looking for a game machine will probably want to get the Xbox 360 or maybe the PlayStation 3. But there's a lot of interest in this Wii. Wii. No one knows how many they will have. I mean, this information is kind of being kept secret. If you've got any suggestion on where to go to get a Wii. Now, I don't think Penny is ready to sit in line. I don't think she wants her son to sit in line for 8 days. If you didn't pre-order, what do? According to GameTrailers.com, most Best Buys will have 80 to 90 units. some as few as maybe 30. So what you might want to do is go look at that line. If it looks like there's more than 80 or 90 people in that line, I wouldn't get in it. There must be some secret method. Anybody know? 1-800-520-1KFI. I still have my old Xbox. I haven't bought any of them. I think if I do, though, it'll be an Xbox 360. I like the games on there. I want to play Halo 3. That'll be out in any day now. I love Halo. More shoot 'em ups on the Xbox 360, but also to look better on an HD TV, won't it? Both PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 are HD. They're 720p or 1080i. In fact, some games will be 1080p, I understand. Not the Wii. The Wii's 480p. So if you have an HD TV, you know, if you're spending a lot of money on your TV, you might... It does come down to the game, doesn't it? 480p is going to look just fine. John Woodland Hills, welcome to KFI. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I need your help very badly.
Okay.
I need to be baptized in computers.
I'll immerse you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back into computers again.
Okay.
The last one I had was the first IBM ThinkPad that came out where the company gave me. Of course, there was nothing around then, so I want to re-educate myself, and I've seen some programs on TV, like CDs for self-instruction, you know, and one was for Windows XP.
Yeah, I don't recommend those.
Oh, you don't like those?
You're talking about the Video Professor?
I think that's what he is.
Yeah, he sure sells a lot of those. I do not recommend those. I think the last time you used a computer was how long ago?
Well, I go to the library, when I have to. I like.
So you're still using them?
To get on the internet, and it's already all set up for it there. You just go.
Yeah, but what do you want to do besides surf?
Well, I want to learn more about Windows XP. I just bought a bought a computer finally.
Okay.
And it's a notebook.
Okay.
It's a Dell. It's 1 gigabyte.
But John, I got to say something. You got a gorgeous voice, John. Do you work in the business?
Believe it or not, I used to for many years.
Yeah, you know, you have a very polished voice.
Many years.
Yeah,
ago.
I can tell. So is this for work or just for your own...
Just for my own pleasure. My kid's been bugging me to get something so he can email me all the time.
I don't think you're going to need a book, I'll be honest with you. If you do, the Dummies books, I hate the name, but they're not bad. They're actually very readable and easy to understand. The reason they call them the Four Dummies books is because a lot of people feel like dummies. You're not a dummy, obviously, when they're faced with the computers. But I don't like to call people dummies. But those books do a good job. I'm a big fan of the missing manuals as well. The Windows XP missing manual from O'Reilly is a really excellent book. That's more like a reference work. I think these books are adequate. I don't think you need to spend the Video Professor. They keep coming month after month, and they end up being quite expensive. I don't recommend those.
Okay.
And I don't think you need them. I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I think you're going to do just fine. In fact, I think what you should have, you got the computer already. Are you having any particular problem?
It off and on. How does that sound?
You could turn it on, right? You can get your email, right? You can surf the net.
Well, I'm not set up yet. I just got your DSL Extreme.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to hook that up as soon as I get a line. I'm trying to get rid of one phone line and make it all one thing.
Yes.
But I can go to the library and do it with no problem.
I don't think you're going to face as much difficulty as you think, John. I think you're worrying about something that's not going to be a problem.
One problem that I noticed because the mouse,
yeah,
it's very delicate around that area.
What area? Where are you using the mouse, John? And I would recommend not doing it there. What area are you talking about?
Well, when you move the mouse, sometimes I touch that area and something pops.
What area?
Something disappears on the screen.
What the heck area are you? Okay, so there's an area where stuff's happening that you kind of don't know why is happening.
Right.
Yeah. Probably you're talking about that area at the bottom of the screen, maybe?
Well, the area where you use your finger to move the arrow.
Oh, I see. The physical touchpad.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people don't like the touchpads for that reason. And the good news is you can go out and get an inexpensive USB mouse, plug it in, it'll work right out of the box on that laptop. You might be much happier.
Yeah, somebody told me that one time.
A lot of people use In fact, I carry a mouse with me so that, you know, when I'm on the road, when I'm at the airport, I don't plug in the mouse. On the airplane, you can't plug in the mouse. But when I'm settled down at the hotel or you know, I'm going to be there for a while, I take the mouse out of the briefcase and plug it in, and it makes it much easier to use. I would recommend looking at a mouse because I think the touchpads are very sensitive. I know what you're talking about now.
And they do
strange things. That's another thing is eventually you'll go into the control panel for your mouse, and you'll change some of the settings. But that's exactly the kind of thing a book would help you with, where it says, well, look, yeah, you notice that this is happening. Here's what you want to do. You want to go in the control panel and uncheck this and uncheck that.
Okay, one quick question. Dell told me that they could give me for free that new software program that Microsoft's coming out with.
Office or Vista? You have a Vista upgrade, yes.
Is that wise?
I wouldn't do it yet. I would stick with what you've got. The good news is what you learn with XP will translate immediately over to Vista. It's not that much different. I would stick with XP for a while and keep listening to this show, John. In about 6 months, maybe sooner, I'll say, okay, all clear. It looks like it's safe to use.
Well, I listen to your show. I get confused sometimes. But that's all right. Listen.
By osmosis, it'll start to make sense. Yeah, sure. The reason is brand new operating system. We just don't know yet. January 30th is the consumer release date. At that point, you'll be able to use that coupon and upgrade. Is it a free upgrade or is it a $20 upgrade? What's the upgrade?
No, they told me it'd be free.
Then I would take advantage of it. What they'll do is send you a disc and just hold on to that disc. And then there'll come a time when you'll say, I'm ready to upgrade to Vista. And you'll have the disc at that point. But I wouldn't rush into that.
Okay.
I think you'll find that the best thing to do is just be patient with yourself. Use it. Play with it. Expect some, you know, hair-tearing moments. Expect some confusion. But just hang in there. I think you're going to be fine. And I don't think a video is really going to help you. If you really want some personal instruction, you know, everybody learns differently. If you like the idea of somebody teaching you. Your local junior colleges all have extension courses, usually free or very low cost, that are very good.
And they're every day.
And I think those are helpful for a lot of people, just to have somebody stand next to you and say, no, try that. And it's going to take you know, believe me, in 3 weeks, the learning curve is pretty steep. In 3 weeks, you're going to go, whoop, I'll get it.
Okay.
Hang in there.
I'll hang in there, Leo.
All right, John. Okay, I don't recommend the videos just because they get very expensive. A good book will probably do you better, and it'll move slower, too, frankly.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate
it. You betcha.
Take care. There is a series that I like a lot. When you go to the bookstore, you'll see it's a little overwhelming. There are miles of aisles of computer books. And really, there are different styles of computer books depending on your style of learning. I think the Dummies books are good for a lot of people because they have a lot of illustrations, very friendly point of view. They're not too advanced. I think the Missing Manuals are excellent reference that are also very well written, very accessible, but they may go into more depth. A lot of people like the Absolute Beginners series. In fact, for you, John, I think that might be the way to go. The Absolute Beginners series, they're published by Q, I think, my old publisher. They Big type, very friendly, you know, lots of pictures, and they're aimed at absolute beginners, and they're very step-by-step oriented. You know, some people like that, where it says, okay, step one, do this, step two, do this, recipes. Everybody's a little different as to what they're looking for in a book, so I would look at a number of books in the bookstore and see which one appeals to you. Dummies books are good. I think maybe for you, the absolute beginner's guides are the best way. And there, if there isn't already, there will be an Absolute Beginner's Guide to Vista. There is one for XP. Those would be a very good place to start. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 1218.
Fat doesn't stand a chance.
If we knew why we ate the way we do, why we eat as much as we do, why we're emotionally eating, whatever's going on with us, if we were more conscious, then we would eat a little bit less and eat a little bit healthier.
Jillian Michaels, tomorrow, 9 to 11, on AM 640, online and on demand, KFI, AM640.com.
I'll tell you, John did one thing right out of the box. He got DSL Extreme. That is, simply put, the most important upgrade you can make to a new computer system: high-speed internet. And at DSL Extreme, you may save money. It's only $14.95 a month. If you have a second line, as John did for his dial-up, that's going to save you money right there. Cut your bill in half. It uses the same line as your voice line. It's very easy. You just plug it in. And it changes everything about the way you use your computer. I mean, you don't wait for downloads. Everything is instant. You don't dial in. You don't wait. Email is there in a flash. You can start watching the movies on YouTube, listening to music. You can really use the internet the way it was intended. I'm a DSL Extreme customer, and I encourage everybody I know to do the same. It's very simple. $14.95 a month. You get, and there's no extra fees, by the way. The modem is free. The tech support is free. Setup is free. There are some geographic restrictions. Call 866-2-GETNET, 866-2-GETNET, or visit them online at dslextreme.com. High-speed internet for just $14.95 a month. $14.95 a month from DSL Extreme. That's such a great price. Call 866-2-GETNET to get DSL Extreme.
Hug a tree if you listen. Rush Limbaugh, Monday, 9 to noon.
KFI, AM 640.
1225, KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. I am Leo Laporte. Here till 2 and the Dr. Dean Adele Show. Yeah, John and Ken at 3 this afternoon. Hey, thanks to Illuminati in the chat room. He's given us the Wii inventory locator. Wii is W-I-I, by the way. Somebody sent me an email saying, what are you talking about? Wii. What is this Wii? It's Nintendo's new game machine, which is a real sleeper. I mean, nobody paid any attention to it. It looked like Nintendo was kind of out of the game. I probably even said that a year ago. I said, Microsoft and Sony are now dominating the console space, and Nintendo is not doing anything. And all of a sudden, they come out with the Wii. They announced it last summer. They showed it. Actually, they showed it for the first time last summer at the late E3, and now here it is, November 19th, and everybody says, I gotta have a Wii! So, here it is. This is the Wii inventory locator for you, Penny, and your son. It's wii.clambert.org. wii.clambert.org. Of course, we'll put it in the show notes at leo.am. You enter in your zip code. Let me enter mine in here. And I don't see how it's going to possibly be able to do this, but it says it will find a Wii for you. I think, you know, I mean, there's going to be plenty of Xbox 360s to go around. I guess he's using Target's inventory numbers, because Target has released its inventory numbers. So somehow they're going to know whether that Target has more. So this is for Targets only. I'm clicking on it right now and see what the inventory. Oh, look, and it does a little Google map. It shows you the nearest Target location and how many Wii's it has in stock. So there it looks like they're all starting with between 40 and 70 or thereabouts. Oh, there's one with 120. So now what I don't know is how they're going to keep this up to date. Are they going to have some magic way? Is Target going to continue to release its inventory? Maybe they will. Well, if that works, that would be great. So thanks to Chris Lambert for putting that together. It's wii.clambert.org. It's the Wii Finder. It only mentions Target, though. So, but, I mean, I guess I think when you only have 120... Well, it's hard to predict the demand. Do you think there'll be so much demand that they'll all be sold out? No, probably not. That's a lot. Ron's on the line. Not sure where he's calling from. Looks like, certainly Southern California. Hey, Ron, welcome to KFI.
Thank you. I'm from Sherman Oaks. Quick question about an older computer. 3-year-old G5 dual gigahertz power PC. The lease is up. The payout is $800. Is it worth keeping? Should I hold out and wait for bigger, better, more
expensive? Well, they're certainly bigger and better. I mean, the Mac Pro, which replaces that G5 tower, is about, 8-10 times faster. It's a lot faster.
Sure.
I made that upgrade. I had a dual 2 gigahertz G5 and upgraded to a Mac Pro. On the other hand, $800 is a pretty good price for a dual G5. I guess the question is, what do you do with it?
Well, I'm a digital photographer.
Photoshop.
Yes, and right. I have an assistant that I just hired, and they're going to be working.
Keep it. Yeah. Your assistant will use it. Photoshop still does not run at full speed on Intel. It'll actually, yeah. So, photos. I think that's the best. That's a good Photoshop machine.
New best Mac with Photoshop. Would that be faster than this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but just barely.
Oh, good.
You know,
interesting.
Macworld. I'll find the benchmarks. Macworld did some benchmarks where they tested, because Photoshop runs in emulation on the Intel Macs.
Oh.
So they tested the, but the Intel Macs, as I pointed out, are much, much faster. So
sure.
Fast enough, by the way, to overcome the speed differential in terms of emulation. But that dual G5 is still a pretty. It's probably a very good Photoshop machine. So, and for the assistant, a good choice. I think that's a good price. I would keep it, and you'll want to get a Mac Pro. It won't be till CS3 comes out sometime in the first quarter of 2007 that it will be Intel native. So for Photoshop, you still have probably one of the best Photoshop machines. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, 1229. Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
He's the essence of more stimulating. Bill Handel, Monday morning, 5 to 9.
KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. This happens every year. The newest, hottest game machine or toy sometimes, you know, the Teddy Ruxpin or the Tickle Me Elmo Extreme. Those things are hard to come by. People storm the stores, and I think people getting in line 2 weeks early to wait for a Nintendo Wii is amazing. But it happens every year. And, of course, if you can wait, you know, if you want to buy an Xbox 360 now, you just walk in and get one and waltz out. And, you know, won't be any trouble at all. There's plenty of them. In fact, you probably will get a better machine because the first, I think, million Xbox 360s had all sorts of overheating problems and issues. And that's settled down now. But you know, it's Christmas. You got to have a Wii. Got to have that Wii in time for the holidays. That's why there's the line. Now, if you're willing to pay well over retail for it, you can always get one. That's what eBay's for, or Craigslist, or there are many, many online ways. But these, I'll tell you, the people who are buying these, you know, I think I'm willing to bet you that of the people who are in line right now in front of Best Buy, waiting for November 19th to get their Wii, I would bet you 100% of them plan to sell them on eBay. They're not waiting in line for themselves. They're going to buy as many as they can and sell them for an outrageous price. Well, if you think of, you know, them waiting in line for 2 weeks, now you can guess what that outrageous price is going to be. How much is their time worth? It's like scalpers, isn't it? They wait in line for the tickets, but then they tack on. So, you know, if you're loaded and money's no object, you can always get one of these things. Just go on eBay right now and look for Wii or a PlayStation 3 and you'll see. But they'll be way, way over list price. I didn't buy any console last year. I lowered my son's expectations. He's 12. Of course, he wants one. I said, nope, not going to get one. We're going to wait and see. Actually, what I said is, oh, the PlayStation 3 will be out in March. We'll wait for that. It was supposed to be out in March. It's supposed to be out in a couple of weeks. We'll see. Yeah, I had a lot of trouble with it. Chris Santa Clarita, welcome KFI. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
But of course.
Last Monday, I was reviewing my checking account online and noticed that I was about $1,200 short. And after making some phone calls to my bank, determined that someone in Italy had illegally accessed my debit MasterCard.
Wow.
And done a Western Union wire transfer for $1,100.
Holy
cow. $83 fee that Western Union charged.
Wow.
Now, Western Union, to their credit, never let the transaction complete because it did not pass their security screening.
Right.
My bank, however, just, you know, was simply asked for an authorization. They granted the authorization.
Wow.
And set the money aside for Western Union. So after about 3.5-4 hours of phone calls, I got my money back in my account.
Holy cow.
But short of canceling my debit card, which I already have and I'm waiting for a new one, what do I do now? I guess I'm a little concerned about, could this happen again? Someone in Italy, Western Union actually gave me the guy's name.
Wow.
But
how did they get that number? Did you use that to buy something?
Well, my only thought I have is I've done a lot of stuff on eBay over the years.
Yep.
I've got nearly 130 feedbacks, and I don't sell, I just buy. And about a month ago, I got a note from eBay that they thought there was a possibility someone tried to hijack my account. And then It turns out about a week before this incident happened, I got another note from eBay about someone trying to hijack my account. And it turns out the number I use to pay for things on eBay is my debit MasterCard.
Well, let me tell you something really bad. Both of those announcements from eBay that somebody tried to hijack your account were almost undoubtedly phony.
Mm-hmm.
Those were phishing scams.
Oh.
So what you did in responding to those was give them the information. So eBay never sends out emails saying your account's been hijacked. No bank does it. Nobody does it anymore because of these phishing scams. They look very real. They look very authentic. They give you a link in the email that you click that takes you to what looks like an eBay login page. You log in, and you're dead. They now have access to your eBay, and they have access to all your information. So, in fact, you may have even given them other information, like your credit card, your social security number. You have to really think back, what did I put in that form? Because they have it all. It's highly likely that this is not the end of it. In fact, you probably are going to want to go get your credit reports from all the three big credit unions, credit reporting services.
I've actually already done that.
Yep, you're going to want to watch them. You probably, I would suggest you put a fraud alert on all three. Those are very useful. In fact, as soon as something like this happens, you can put a fraud alert. And what happens with a fraud alert is they will not issue a new credit card. They will not issue credit in any form for a period of time. It depends on how long the fraud alert lasts, 6 months, a year, 6 years. It just depends. And then at that point, you're protected. It makes it harder for you to get credit. You have to go through some rigmarole to get a new credit card or to borrow to buy a house or a car. But I think it's worth it because it does prevent identity theft. It means that somebody who has information now can't just go ahead and use it against you. So it's a very simple thing to do. If you go to Experian or any of the credit bureaus and say, I want to do a fraud alert, they'll do that for you.
Now, with PayPal, I ended up, that's where I would put the information into as far as payment things are concerned.
They've got that. Everything that you gave them when you went to, quote, eBay to sort of resolve that issue, you were actually giving to a hacker. So these phishing scams are bad, I've been bit, or almost been bit. I've caught myself short of actually giving them any information. The rule of thumb in this is no financial institution uses email to do this kind of stuff anymore. If you do get an email like that, never click on the link in the email. Always go directly to ebay.com by hand and then follow the steps to get to the resolution page. Never click a link in an email, because what happens is those links don't, in fact, take you to eBay. They take you to an outside server that looks exactly the same.
So I should probably go ahead then and obviously take all of my information out of eBay right now.
Yeah, you got to
go ahead and rechange it.
Well, you got to change your eBay account for sure.
Yeah.
They've compromised that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Anything that you gave them. So try to remember, and it's hard, but you filled out a form, and anything you gave them, credit card number, social security number, birth date, anything, and they'll ask for everything because they figure the more they get from you, the better they can rob you. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Well, it was, needless to say, a surprise to me. And nothing's occurred since, so I'm glad for that at least, but I've kept walking around thinking, I know there's a crime, but what do I
That's
do
the
I,
crime.
What
you
do
were
I do?
You were phished, and there's nothing you can do about it at this point. There's a very good website. The Anti-Phishing Working Group has a wonderful website that describes phishing. It has sample, by the way, a very good sample phishing messages. You might even recognize the one that you got phished by. It's the Anti-Phishing Working Group, which I think is antifishing.org. Let me just type it in and see. Make sure you go to the right site. They really are very good. Yeah, A-N-T-I-P-H. Phishing is phishing.org.
Right.
If you go there, you'll see the phishing archive. And look through there. And that will give you an idea of how good these guys are. Sometimes there's grammatical errors, there are little red flags, but sometimes it looks, so good. And it'll come from your bank. We all get these now. It'll come from eBay and PayPal are very popular. And man, you click a link in an email, you're asking for trouble. The minute you click a link in an email, it can take you to a site that is, in every respect, looks like an official site, but is not. And any information you gave them, they've got. And I would assume that you've been fully compromised at this point. Mike, Pasadena, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, hope you're feeling better from your illness.
I am. Thank you, Mike.
Wonderful. Hey, I got a quick two-part question. I have a Canon 10D digital camera.
Okay.
And I've been wanting to shoot RAW, but when I shoot RAW, I can't get... When I take the images off the camera, iPhoto isn't recognizing.
Right.
Nor is... I have an older version of Photoshop 6 that, you know, it has RAW as one of its... options for like reading a file, but they can't understand.
Right.
None of them are opening the pictures. That
here's
I'm
the problem. There's
camera.
No standard RAW format. And
so how would I?
Well, you just have to update. So you want to make sure iPhoto may or may not. You should go on the apple.com/iPhoto and see what cameras they support. iPhoto periodically does updates, and you may even be able to download an update from Apple that will add RAW support for other formats. You know, that
it is the Panther edition.
Yeah, that 10D is very, very common. That was a great camera.
It's great. The sad thing is now you can get the 30D for the same price that I paid for the 10.
Hey, welcome to the world of technology.
Yeah.
But that 10 is widely used. Photoshop for sure. But you have to go and get you have to update your RAW plugin. It's just updating the plugin.
I just go to Adobe and get that from them?
Yep, it's just an update, and they add. I update regularly. They add new RAW formats all the time. There is no standard for RAW. All RAW is a bit for bit dump of what the pickup got, and even within a manufacturer's line, there'll be different formats. Nikon's notorious for changing their format regularly, so you just have to. Get the latest plugin for Photoshop. Even if it's Photoshop 6, you should be able to update that.
Okay, I'll try that. My second part is I have an old DV mini camcorder. It's an old JVC, and I mean, it's kind of outdated. I mean, the battery doesn't hardly last very long, so I want to update and get a new camcorder. What do you think of the high-def camcorders? I know they're very expensive, but I got myself a brand-new big plasma TV, and
Yeah, the new ones are not, you know, and they have both Canon and the Sony make $1,200 HD camcorders are pretty good. The one thing with HD you've got to really keep in mind is they're not great in low light. I mean, digital camcorders in general are bad in low light. HD's even worse because of the high resolution. So
that's one of the reasons why I'm replacing this, because it's low light capacity. Just it's awful.
Right. Well, you may be unhappy. I mean, if you shoot indoors a lot, HD may, you know, you need lights. HD may not be a good choice for you. It's bad enough with digital. It's worse with HD.
Well, they're very expensive, too. I mean, at $1,200, $1,300,
right.
I just want to make sure I'm making the right choice
right.
if I go that way.
I tell you, I like them. I think they're very good cameras, but you need lights if you're not outdoors. So that's something to be, you know, if you shoot indoors a lot, I think you might want to look at something else. In fact, a lot of the camcorders, DV camcorders, the low light performance is terrible. They shrink, as they shrink in size, they also shrink the size of the CCD, the pickup. And as it gets smaller, of course, it's got less area to pick up light. It gets worse. Bad low-light performance means you're going to get very grainy video. It really just looks terrible. I've sent a last hour caller to camcorderinfo.com, a great site for that. They rate these cameras for low-light performance. They actually test them. So they will tell you at what light levels these cameras start to get grainy. camcorderinfo.com. And probably before anybody buys a camcorder, it's a must visit site. camcorderinfo.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 1250.
Fearless, real, gutsy news reporting. KFI News.
KFI AM 640.
1256. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Frank in Valencia, welcome to KFI.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, I've got a couple of icons on my desktop that I just can't get rid of.
Yeah, really? They won't go away.
They won't go away. The first one tells me it can't find the file or folder.
What is the icon? What kind of icon? What does it say?
Well, the icon is just some information I saved. It says Audio Pro spec sheet.
Okay. And it's no longer there, and you can't just drag it to the trash or right-click it.
No, I tried just about everything. It just, I gave up.
Huh. And what's the other icon?
The icon is a file I saved off the web,
okay.
An executable file. A search file.
Yeah, it sounds like these files are busy. In other words, that the computer thinks they're in use still and won't let you throw them out.
That's what's happening with the search file. It's telling me it's in use by another program, or I even tried booting up in the safe mode and the diagnostic modes, but
that's smart.
Nothing works.
That's smart. I'm going to recommend a free program called Move On Boot. And
Move On Boot.
You just do a Google for Move On Boot. You'll find it. And it does what you were trying to do, but it does it even earlier. It does it on boot up. So essentially what you do is you mark the file, and it creates a little batch file that will delete it before Windows can even start. And that's really what you need to do. You need to delete that file before it gets busy with it.
Okay, let me go ahead and try that.
Yeah, I've had good luck with that for exactly that, deleting files that are undeletable because Windows says, no, you can't get rid of this. I'm using it. And it's free. So, it's worth a try anyway. There are other programs that do similar things. If you know what's wrong, as you clearly do, it's just a question of figuring out how to get that file. You know, you could probably do it by hand booting into the console, the recovery console, but then you'd have to use DOS commands to go to your desktop, which is where you've stored that, and delete the file there. Probably, if you can do it before, the problem with safe mode is too much stuff's already running. If you could do it from the command line, you probably could do it. But try Move On Boot. That's essentially what Move On Boot does. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1KFI is my phone number. Another hour to come. Lots of tech talk left. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. It's 1259. Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
November 11th, 2006.
68 in Anaheim Hill, 65 in Laguna Beach, 63 in Manhattan Beach, 68 degrees in Burbank. KFI is a talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. It's 107. I'm Lisa Osborne, KFI News.
Thank you, Lisa, and good afternoon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy here on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI is my phone number. Love to talk to you about technology. Show notes are online. If you go to KFIAM640.com, just go to my page there and click the official website link, or go directly to leo.am. You'll find links there to our chat room and the tips and all sorts of information, including links to all the things I talk about. Shuby puts those together as we're talking, as we're going. 101 people in the chat room right now. So the PlayStation 3 is also on its way. We've been talking about the Wii, mostly because I like to say the name Wii, the Nintendo game machine. But credit where credit's due. I mean, a lot of excitement over PlayStation 3. It went on sale today in Japan. Actually, really, it was yesterday, but it was Saturday in Japan. Anyway, it went on sale. It went on sale on the 11/11 in Japan, and now they only had 100,000 units for all of Japan, and so it sold out instantly. People were being turned away from stores almost before the doors opened. At one store in Tokyo, the line was so long that before the store even started selling them, they said, you know, go home. This is the line stops here because we'd only have this many. 100,000 machines. Now, it goes on sale in the U.S. on the 17th in 6 days. And which is, I guess, this Friday. And we will have more, but not a lot more, 400,000 PlayStation 3s here. I think that pretty much guarantees shortages. 400,000. Sony says that by March, they will have 3 million for sale. So it might be worth waiting on the PlayStation 3 until March. I'm sorry, 6 million worldwide by March of 2007. Although some say that, you know, that there's no way they're going to do it. It's expensive. It's $600. Does come with a Blu-ray HD DVD, high-def DVD disc, a Blu-ray in it. And of course, the cell processor. It's got a very sophisticated, very interesting processor. Basically, it's an eight-way processor in there. Very powerful. But not many people are going to get to play with it. I think if you're a PlayStation 2 fan, those are the people who are most interested. They're the ones who really are excited about the PlayStation 3. It's a natural progression for them. If you're an Xbox fan, the 360 makes sense. If you're a Nintendo fan, you know, you want to play Zelda, then the Wii makes sense. There's a lot of loyalty to these consoles based on the games that come on the consoles and history. I do think that the easiest will be, of course, an Xbox 360 because it's been out for a year. That's the one that you won't have to wait in line to get. The Wii comes out on the 19th, and there's already lines for that. PlayStation 3 a few days earlier. It's going to be a very interesting holiday buying season, that's for sure. Eric in Ontario, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Eric.
How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging on.
I got a question on network switches for a growing business.
Okay.
We have quite a few ports available in our network closet, but I need to expand them out to our warehouse. And I wanted to see what you recommended in terms of a low-cost, high-speed switch for power over Ethernet for our voice over IP phones.
Boy, you know, I'm not an expert on enterprise-level equipment of that grade, so I probably don't have any viable recommendation for you. Just so people understand, a switch is a great idea when you get as you get your network bigger and bigger, as opposed to let's say just a hub. You can always add ports to a network, but the traffic, the way Ethernet's designed, traffic goes to everywhere on the network. So what a switch does, it effectively segments your network and makes it more efficient and allows you to add many more seats without slowing things down. I am not an expert on switches, though, so I have no idea what to recommend. I'm sorry, Eric.
Not a problem. Thank
All right.
you for your help.
Hey, thank you for the call. You hung on for a long time for that non-answer. If somebody has something they want to tell Eric, that's what the show notes are for. You can go to leo.am and add a comment there. Actually, have I turned on comments? I probably haven't. I better turn them on right now. We've had such problems with spam lately. Just before the show, I went in and I deleted a ton of ugly spam out of there. And I'm actually thinking, I've been using a wiki since I started this show 3 years ago. And I love the idea of a wiki. A wiki is a web page that its users, its readers can modify. And originally it worked great. You know, there was a real sense of community and people were, modifying the wiki, but it was all valuable, useful stuff. As time went by, we started getting more problems there. I started having to give out passwords. That didn't work. Now I've eliminated the wiki capabilities. You can add comments. And even that I turn on and off because people are just, you know, we've got just nasty spammers in here. So I'm now thinking of moving away from a wiki. It's kind of sad for me. I love the idea of a wiki. I must be an old hippie. I love the idea of a community working on a site together to make it better. And in cases like Wikipedia, it works really well. But, man, you know, I guess they've just got a lot of people watching things, and I don't. So I'm probably going to move the software over to WordPress, which is blogging software. It'll have basically the same capabilities we have now, which is I'll create the body of it, and you'll be able to comment, which, you know, in other words, add content to it as a comment. But it has much better spam-fighting capabilities than the wiki software I use, which really isn't designed to handle spam, I'm sorry to say. Anyway, I've turned the comment box back on. If you have something to say about switches, good network switches, I'd love to hear from you. Leo.am. Cindy, Redondo Beach, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Leo. I'm hoping you can help me.
I hope I can, too. What is it?
I've got a brand new SanDisk SD Ultra 2.
Okay.
And a brand new Nikon Coolpix L3.
Okay.
And when I put the card in my card reader, opened up Drive G, and actually, I guess the first time I used my Cam Media software, which is from my old Olympus camera that died earlier this year.
Okay.
I turned my vertical or my sideways photos upright, and realized I was using my old software. So closed out, saved them, closed out, opened up with Picasa,
mm-hmm.
I think it was,
yep.
And was able to download only my vertical photos.
Ah.
Now I can't read the card through my card reader or my camera.
Can you form? You've got the photos off it, or do you want to recover the photos, the originals?
I want to recover all the horizontal photos.
Right.
I've got about 180 photos from the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta on there.
Okay. I mean, worst case, you've at least got the sideways ones. But you can't read it. If you have the camera on and hooked up via USB, you can't read it through the camera?
That I don't know, but if I put putting the card in the camera, I get this card cannot be used.
Okay.
Putting the card in my card reader, it takes about 5 minutes when I open Drive G. It takes about 5 minutes, and then it says, please insert a disk into Drive G.
Oh, boy. Okay. So it sounds like the card's gotten munged, whether it was munged by the Cam Media software or just coincidentally messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say. You probably could format it and recover it, but before you do that, obviously, you want to get the files off. I recommended earlier in the show, and I'll recommend it again, a good free program for this. Called PC Inspector. It's a free recovery program designed for recovering photos from smart media SD.
I heard you talk about that earlier.
Yeah. It's free.
That works.
Yeah, it works. And all of these programs do exactly the same thing. So if it does not work, there's no point in going on. It's PCinspector.de.
Okay.
And it's just a file recovery program. You know, you could spend money and get SpinWrite or something like that, which I think would work on this. I have to ask Steve if it works on Flash Media, but I think the Flash Media shows up as a drive to the it won't work because SpinWrite works in DOS and it won't see the USB device. So, if PC Inspector doesn't work, then you probably don't have access to those photos.
Out of luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then format the card and make sure the card's reliable before you use it again.
Yes, because it is a brand new card.
Yeah.
The only reason I got the new camera and the new card is because my Olympus failed halfway through an Africa trip.
Oh, no.
Apparently, the light meter went out. Only flash photos are visible.
Oh,
the rest
horrible.
Are over. They're too bright. They don't show up very well.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry about
that.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's why I carry the 35 with me.
Yeah, it's not bad to have it can go wrong with a 35, too. And then the advantage of a digital camera, at least you can check.
Right.
You know, a 35 millimeter camera, you can shoot 100 rolls and you won't know till you've got them processed. So.
True.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cindy. Yeah, I hope that will recover it. At least those rotated ones are still available to you. And they're not much degraded. If the Cam Media did a good job with it, it probably should be similar quality, unless it shrunk them or something. That's why most of these good programs, like Picasa, like Adobe Photoshop Album, like iPhoto, will keep the originals unmodified and make a duplicate that's the rotated version. Because rotating it, processing it anyway, of course, degrades it a little bit. But rotating, of all of those things, rotating is the least degrading. Technically, not emotionally. It might be emotionally degrading. It just depends on the picture. Some of them are very sensitive. Leo Lepore, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 118.
They've taken Southern California by storm. Now they're invading your weekend.
Go! John and Ken, Saturdays starting at 3.
John and Ken coming up in just a little bit, right after Dr. Dina Dell at 2. I'm Leo Lepore, the tech guy, here till 2 on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Lloyd in San Diego, you're next on KFI. Hello, Lloyd.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Okay. Had to say that because your screener said don't get into all that.
you're like me. You're a rebel. Anybody tells me to do something, I do the opposite.
I have a problem. I have a Dell that's about 5 years old. I have ME installed in it. It does fine. Everything does fine. I also have WebBoot Spy Sweeper for MSN.
Okay.
And Trojan Downloader Ruin has come up. And even if I go to delete or select all and then delete, go through their program, it still stays.
Yeah. So you got some spyware. Trojan Downloader Ruin. The funny thing about spyware is it's really close to virusware at this point. Do you have an antivirus as well?
I'm not real smart with computers.
Okay, so
Mozilla Firefox.
No. What the programs you've told me about so far are not an antivirus program, and that's probably one of the reasons you got this thing. But I have to tell you, even anti-spyware programs are not 100% effective. There's no one program that will protect you 100% or detect 100% or remove 100%. So often I recommend several different anti-spyware programs in addition. The WebRoot's very good. SpySweeper is very good. But I also, you might want to look at Microsoft's Free Defender. Oh, no, it won't run on ME, though. You've got an old operating system. I think at this point, you know, the chances are good if you've got that one program, you have others on your system, too. Have you been updating SpySweeper regularly?
Yes, I started doing that as soon as I noticed this, probably a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so you weren't updating up to that point.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to get rid of spyware. Unfortunately, once you get it, almost impossible. The reason is the people who create these programs are pretty good little hackers. The same kids who were doing this stuff maliciously as vandals a few years ago realized that they could make a little money by putting stuff on your system that forces you to see ads, changes your homepage, changes your search. The people who are getting the plugs here, who are getting the ads, who are getting the search pages, who are getting the links, actually pay these hackers affiliate fees. So the hackers are making money off of you, and they have a couple of interests. One is, and chief of which is, never to let you get this thing off your system. And they spend every waking hour thinking of ways to keep you from removing this stuff. Ultimately, I think they've won, since most anti-spyware programs are no longer effective at removing spyware. One of the techniques these guys use is they attach their spyware to key system files. And removing them would kill the patient. It would damage the file, and at that point, your system would no longer work. So the anti-spyware program, just all it can do is throw up its hands and say, I'm sorry, I can't remove it. To do so would create a non-working machine. So what's the fix? Well, the first thing is don't get the stuff in the first place. Be very, very careful about where you go, what you click on. It helps to have anti-spyware and antivirus software, but it's not a panacea. Really, behavior is important. Don't open email attachments. Don't click links in emails. Try to keep off the bad sides of the internet, the gambling sites, the porn sites. That's where you get spyware. Using Windows is not a good idea. Unfortunately, it's really a prime target. You're smart to use Firefox. That's a lot better than an Internet Explorer. It certainly helps. At this point, though, once you've got it, chances are, you know, I like the name, Trojan Downloader Ruin. It kind of tells you everything. A Trojan is something that hides in your system. A downloader is something that's used to download other bad guys on your system. Ruin, that's what's happened. It's ruined your system. At this point, my best advice is back up your data and reinstall Windows, I'm sorry to say. There's no way to effectively, permanently get rid of these infections without reinstalling, I think. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 129.
Blunt, but with a point. Dr. Laura, Monday, noon to 3.
KFI, AM 640.
138, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, a KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. 1-800-520-1534. So glad you're here listening to the show today. Jeff in Torrance, welcome to KFI.
Hi, I have a very generic laptop computer.
Okay.
And my problem with it is I was on a search engine one time, clicked on something, and kind of like the last caller, I got all these pop-ups.
Oh, boy.
Bells and whistles and viruses, yeah, and spyware. I'm thinking of getting a new, I am going to get a new laptop computer. But on the laptop I have now, I have my Palm Pilot installed on that, so I hot sync my Palm Pilot to that computer.
Okay.
Now, if I get a new computer and put the Palm Pilot, you know, the disk, install the software on the new computer, and then hot sync it, is there a possibility that the actual handheld Palm Pilot can be carrying the virus and put it into the new computer?
Possibility, but very unlikely. Very, very unlikely. It would have to be a virus that was savvy about Palms, intentionally attached itself to your sync data, then once on your Palm, got copied over, and then somehow managed to magically activate itself. And I don't know of any virus that does that. It's not theoretically impossible. Anything that copies data to or from your computer could be a vector for a virus. But I don't know of any virus that does that. And it's not a trivial thing. And, you know, the truth is, nowadays, virus authors aren't trying to prove how clever they are. They're trying to really get on your system permanently, effectively, and without your knowledge. And I doubt anybody's spending a lot of effort doing it that way. It's so much easier to get in via email or a network worm.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry.
Okay, and I'm also one more question, if I could. I'm looking at either getting a Gateway or a Dell. Any suggestions or preferences?
Well, I have to say, as a disclaimer, that Dell is an advertiser on my podcast network. So, but that's because I use Dells, and we buy Dells. In fact, we just bought a new Dell for the TV show. I am absolutely a fan of Dell. I think where Dell has gone downhill, unfortunately, the equipment's always been good. He is on their tech support. They used to have the best in the business, and like everyone else, because margins are so thin in the PC business, they make, you know, so little money on each computer because price pressures are so intense, they just can't afford to give you really great tech support. So they use offshore tech support in India, like almost everybody else does. And I found that when they started doing that, when they stopped using call centers in Austin and they started going to India, that the quality of their tech support went downhill. However, there's no one any better. They've all gone downhill. Gateway's fine. I of the two, I prefer Dell.
Very good.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
I
appreciate your call. Yeah. It's an interesting, it's a theoretical question. It's an interesting theoretical question. This notion of spreading a virus via your palm. And I do believe, I seem to remember this, that there have been a couple of cases. There certainly have been BlackBerry viruses, and there have been viruses that spread via Bluetooth. But most of these are exercises in, kind of theoretic virus contagion. The people who are really spreading these viruses nowadays, they're sticking with email. It works well. Gets the job done. You know, you'd have to get the virus. It's a lot of work to do what you want to say and want to do. And I don't think that that's going to happen. I would not worry. Mike, West LA, KFI, Leo Lepore, the tech guy.
Hi. First of all, I don't really care how you are, but I got a problem.
Right? I like that.
Thank you very much. Okay. When my machine boots up, number lock automatically goes on. Yep. I have to manually turn it off. That's always after I forget and type some stuff and have to backspace. I went to setup figuring there'd be something there to turn it off. There isn't.
There's nothing in your BIOS?
Sorry?
Your BIOS setup doesn't have anything about that? Because that's
BIOS
where it is.
When I hit the key that takes me direct to setup, right?
Yeah, and it's
CMOS
like a
setup.
Yeah, CMOS setup. It's like
but
a text only.
It's an e-machine. It's Windows 98 SE, about 100,000 years old.
Boy, that is normally something that you can change in BIOS. There is a registry setting as well, and I suspect what's happened is whatever the... So did you not find anything in your BIOS?
Nothing, right.
Okay.
You say BIOS, it's a CMOS setup,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, CMOS setup. They call
right,
it BIOS setup.
In there.
Okay. Most machines do have something there. However, since yours doesn't, you can ignore that and go right to the registry.
Okay.
There is in your... you know how to edit the registry?
I know RegEdit and beyond that.
That's it. That's all you need.
Okay.
You could probably just do a search in RegEdit for keyboard. What you're looking for... Actually, do a search in RegEdit for initial keyboard indicators, one word.
Initial keyboard indicators.
One word.
Okay.
And it's in the, I'll just tell you where it is. It's in H key users default control panel keyboard.
One more time. H key users.
Default.
Default.
Control panel.
Control panel.
Keyboard. You know how you navigate through the keys.
Okay.
And there's this data type, initial keyboard indicators, and it needs to be 0.
Okay.
If it's 2, which it sounds like yours is, numlock will be on.
Okay.
And that will override your whatever BIOS setting you have. So
it has to be either 0 or 2.
Yep.
Not a 1.
Yeah, isn't that odd?
Strange.
There may be a 1. I don't know what 1 does, but I do know,
right.
I do know that what you want is 0.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Isn't that odd? If you go to H key current user, you can change it on a user-by-user basis. So go to H key current user control panel keyboard, and that will change the individual user. If you go to H key users dot default, that will change all users. And normally this is done in, I don't know why, but this is done in BIOS setup. I don't know why you would. Well, I guess that's why Windows allows you to do that. Carl, Toledo, Ohio, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yes, Leo. I'm a Leo-holic.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope there's no cure for that.
I don't know. You got to put out more podcasts.
I can't put out more. I'm already putting out more than any human should put out.
Yes, I have a hard time listening to them all. I can't imagine how you put them together.
They're easier to put out than they are to listen to.
Yeah, I'm calling about two things, Leo.
Yeah.
One, I noticed both you and Patrick Norton on DTV mention about watching the video netcast on their computer. It was hard to do. And on my laptop, as there are most laptops, there's an S video output. Well, I tied that into my 56-inch projection screen. It works
beautiful. There you go. How's that? And it looks okay?
Yeah, it's just a little out of focus.
When we say hard to do, we mean hard for the average Joe to do. You're obviously a little more sophisticated.
Well, you just plug in the S cable, hit F4, which dumps it to your TV, and plug your audio in, and it can't be any simpler than that.
Oh, yeah, it could. I know what you're saying, Carl. You're fortunate enough you have S video output on your computer. I think we're all looking for a way, for those of us who do video podcasts, we would like to make it as easy to watch a video podcast as it is to watch a TV show without a lot of fussing around with hardware. Similarly, and most of my stuff's audio, I would like to make an audio podcast as easy to find and listen to as a radio show. And I think we're a long way off from that. It's still, you got
a little bit.
You got to find it. You got to get on the computer. You got to figure out some way to get the computer on the TV. It's not that easy.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Leo, have you seen the new Sony Reader?
I have not played with one. I've talked to people who have and love them.
Yeah, I just bought one. And
you did?
Fantastic.
Oh, tell me all about it. You're my first reviewer.
Okay. It'll import PDF files, text files, RTF files.
Oh, that's good.
If you have Word installed on your computer.
So you're not stuck with the proprietary copy-protected Sony formats.
Right.
That's good news.
You can put in audio files, MP3 files. You can put in picture files in bitmap, JPEG, GFI, and PNG files.
Wow. But it's black and white. It's not color. Yeah, it's
black and white. And it holds a fantastic amount of material. Sony has their own website for downloading books, and they got quite a few books on there.
I think the potential here is great. Now, the idea of an e-book reader is very crisp text, and you can hold a great number of books. And the way this one works, and I think all of them will work, is it only uses power to turn the page. So once a page is on the screen, it's no longer using power. So they tell you battery life in terms of number of pages viewed.
Right, thousands of pages.
So how long have you had it?
I've had it for about a week, and I just love it.
Have you charged it? Have you charged it, or is it held that?
I charged it when I got it, yeah.
And not since?
Not since.
So it's held that charge for at least a week?
Right.
Wow, that's great.
Now, I downloaded some PDF files that I had for my business that I got from the manufacturer. They had part numbers and stuff on them, and I display those on here also.
How much did you pay, if I might ask?
$349.
Well, that's not bad. I thought they were going to be $700.
And then they have a stand that you can use, which allows you to plug the charger and the UPS USB cord into it.
How much?
That was $49.
How many books can it hold? How much memory does it have?
It has 64
megs,
I believe.
Okay, that's probably enough for several hundred books.
Right. Then they have a slot in the side that you can put a SD card.
Oh, okay. So you could put another 2 gigs in there if you needed to. All right.
Right, but you can't read directly off of it.
Ah.
What they do is they let you take the books you have purchased and put them into an SD card to save them, and then you can load from the SD card into it.
I see. And so tell me about the screen. Is it really crisp? Is it as good as a
it's
print?
It's like looking at a piece of paper.
It is look like. Okay, so that's the key, I think.
Right, it's kind of a off-white, sort of a gray, and the text is excellent.
And how heavy is this thing?
About 9 ounces.
Well, that's not bad.
And you can change the size of the print.
See, I like that. I like that because paperbacks are getting harder and harder for me to read.
Right, this is about the same size as a paperback.
But you can make the print much larger.
Right, you can also, by holding down the size key, you can rotate the text
horizontally to the wide thing, and it automatically reformats everything.
Is this the PRS 500 you're talking about?
PRS 500, yes.
All right, just want to make sure that we're talking about the same model.
Yeah.
Well, I am thrilled that you called to review it, Carl. And now, you know, I had kind of poo pooed it. Now I'm thinking,
I noticed you mentioned you like to read books.
I am a big reader, and I'm thinking this might be, you know, I usually carry two or three paperbacks with me. Of course, that's
the only thing I have to agree with Patrick Norton about when he said something about it on his show. He says if you leave a paperback book on the bus,
you don't
you're
die.
Not going to cry about it. If you leave this on the bus,
you're
going
to cry. I have to say I'm very interested. I know Patrick's been dying for this device. I'm glad to hear it's out.
You've lost quite a few phones on
I know.
Taxi,
I'm not the right guy.
It would be a big thing for
I'm not the guy to buy this. But it sounds very... I'm glad. Carl, thank you so much for giving us a review. I really appreciate it. It's the new Sony ebook, and I see it is for sale on the Sony Style site for $350, which is less than about half what I thought it was going to be. So that's not bad. The PRS 500. Leo Laporte, the tech. Thank you, Carl. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
KFI News.
Fox News.
Together, bringing you the big stories.
KFI AM 640.
Woohoo! KFI AM 640. Yeah, Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. Till 2, just a couple more minutes, and then it's Dr. Dina Dell at 3 o'clock this afternoon. John and Ken, let's see if we get one more call, maybe two more in before the show winds up. Caesar in Chula Vista. Hello, Caesar.
Hello, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Just a quick question here. Antivirus.
Yes.
I know you have talked about them before, and what would you recommend? I usually use the ones that you can get for free demos. I used Norton ones, and
I'm not a fan of Norton or McAfee. The free ones are okay. Like there's two free ones I recommend: AVG from GRISOFT.com. They still offer free. Somebody told me they're not offering it for free. You have to dig. That's all. And free-av.com, which is the antivir. But I have to say, I think you get better results with a paid antivirus. Nod32 is a sponsor, and the reason they're a sponsor is because I've used them for years and recommended them for a long time.
Which one is that? I'm sorry.
It's one nobody's ever heard of. Nod32, N-O-D, the number 32. It's from ESET.com. I like that one a lot. Now, a very easy one for Windows users, especially if you're using XP or you're going forward with Vista, is the new Microsoft OneCare. It's anti-spyware, anti-virus. It also has a lot of security features. And one of the advantages of OneCare is it's very affordable. I think it's $30 or $40 for three machines. So if you have multiple machines you want to protect, I think OneCare is a very good choice. It's very easy.
So you recommend that one or not?
Nod32 is the if you're a pro, I would say Nod32 is for users that really want the best protection and know what they're doing. It's a very effective, very lightweight antivirus. If you're a novice, then I would say Windows OneCare is easy.
Windows OneCare,
and it's free for 3 months. You can try it and see if you like it.
Great, because I went on the CNET and looked at the reviews, and they would the number one choice was the Shield 2007, but never I haven't heard about it either.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, CNET, look, I trust CNET and PC Magazine and the reviews, but I have to tell you, they often recommend stuff that has far too many features, bloatware, and that's why Norton and McAfee are no longer on my list. It slows your system down. So the problem with a lot of these, PC Shield and a lot of them, is there's just too much stuff in it. I want something simpler, something that just protects me. I don't need a bunch of extra stuff to slow my system down. But Caesar, you're thinking along the right lines. You got to have one of these. Hey, I'm out of time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. I'll be back tomorrow to talk high tech with you 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Show notes are online at leo.am. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Stay tuned. Dr. Dean Dale is coming up next on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Lisa Osborne is in the KFI News Center. Well, that's it for this edition of the Tech Guy on KFI. Thanks so much for listening. If you're ever in the Southern California area, I hope you'll listen live on the radio every Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KFI AM 640. You can also listen on the internet anytime at KFIAM640.com. Archives of older shows are available online on my website. That's leo.am. Click the audio archives button. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast, which is leo.am/podcasts/KFI. My thanks to Howard Bailey for providing the theme music for this show. You can listen to Howard's music at soundclick.com. Thanks to DSL Extreme for providing the bandwidth. Of course, first of all, thanks to you for listening. I'll see you next time on KFI.